welcome to the Goal Lines Podcast, your Mid-Missouri football guide. If you don't already subscribe, find us on Apple Podcasts and Google Play.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to a new season's worth of installments of the News Tribune Football Podcast featuring the Missouri Tigers. I'm your host, Tony Hawley. I'm sitting here with Kyle McAreevy of the News Tribune, and Kyle, it doesn't seem like that long ago that we were talking about the Tigers, and now it's time to talk about the Tigers again. But so let's go back before we go forward. Last year ended up with a 6-6 regular season and a bowl loss. What do we expect this year? I mean, I guess we could maybe kind of pencil in maybe another bowl berth since they've been doing that a lot lately. But what do we think that is kind of this season's worth of questions for the Eli Drinkwitz-led Tigers?
I think the first one is, can they go over 500 in the regular season? Yeah. Drinkwitz has been around for 3 years. They were 5-5 in the COVID year, 6-6 and 6-6 during the regular season, and then bowl losses each of the last 2 years. Bowl canceled in 2020, but made it. So qualified for 3 straight bowls under 3 years of Drinkwitz. So, you know, if they make a fourth, I think that's the first time since a run of about 7 in a row that ended in 2011.
Okay.
So, I mean, you know, it all depends on expectations of how you consider how the Drinkwitz era has gone so far.
Right.
If the expectations are make a bowl game every year, he's doing a great job.
Right.
If the expectations are be around the top of the SEC, not so good.
Yeah, exactly. So I guess before we, you know, kind of, you know, delve deep into some maybe specifics, let's keep it kind of on the macro level and go, okay, you know, just kind of looking at the early season kind of versus, I mean, we know the SEC is coming later on and everything that brings with it. But the kind of the first part of the season is kind of just, you know, an interesting slate of games from the standpoint of, you know, okay, if we're going to do the sort of thing that we do and we go, okay, how many W's can we pencil in and how many L's can we pencil in? You know, I think it's one of those things where you look at these first four games and go, okay, there's three extremely winnable games, and then there's one game that's going to test you. So just kind of taking those things in order, and we'll deal more with South Dakota when we kind of talk about the season opener here more in a minute. But you get South Dakota, you get Middle Tennessee, both those home games. You get Kansas State, and that's another home game. And then you get Memphis. So it's all, you know, it's four home games to start, and it's kind of, you look at it and go, okay, well, you know, I kind of like the way this is shaping up. But, you know, that's also a Kansas State team that thumped you pretty good last year. So what are we kind of maybe expecting to see after kind of that first kind of burst of games?
I'll just throw in before I really get moving, the Memphis game, not technically a home game. It's at the Dome in St. Louis.
Oh, that's right, right.
But sure. Still, yeah. You know.
Home field advantage, sort of.
Yeah. Yeah. In the area.
Right.
Definitely more home than Memphis is.
Right, exactly.
But, yeah. So, I mean, let's take it from week one. South Dakota, if you don't win by 20, that's a problem.
Right.
Middle Tennessee, if you don't win by 20,
right.
That's a problem.
Right.
Kansas State, yeah, I thought that was a winnable game last year, and it was not close.
Right.
So, we'll see. Kansas State lost, I believe, a good amount of their offensive production from last season, but they're still ranked 16th coming into the year, so still probably going to be a pretty tough game. In Columbia, better advantage, definitely, than going to Manhattan.
Right.
But, you know, it's that one's going to be the tough one out of the early season, you know, pre-SEC slate.
Yeah.
And then Memphis, I don't know a ton about, but they weren't great last year, and they don't play an incredible schedule, so
yeah.
I would expect that's another, you know, closer than South Dakota and Middle Tennessee, but
right.
Should be a pretty easily winnable game.
So I guess if the main goal is to, you know, finish above 500 as opposed to another 500 season, that stretch kind of looks like maybe that gets you off on a springboard where if you kind of end that stretch 3-1 at worst, maybe 4-0 if things go right against K-State, then you're kind of where you want to be. So let's say that kind of plays out that way and they're on their way. They're also going to probably have to figure out some stuff in this first kind of four games of the schedule in terms of identity-wise. And I'll just ask you flat out, what's, you know, quarterback's got to be the biggest identity thing we've got to figure out, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, this is the perfect slate of games to figure it out.
Right.
So we're going to see both Brady Cook and Sam Horn at least week one, possibly future weeks, you know, not confirmed or denied at this point, but confirmed they will both play week one.
Okay.
I'm not sure what the setup's going to be. I would expect probably just give Brady the first half and Sam the second half, but then, you know, you're in a game like South Dakota, you're probably going to be playing a bunch of your second stringers, maybe third stringers in the second half. So maybe get Sam in a little earlier to get him looks with the first team. But we'll see. It kind of just all depends. We also heard, you know, throughout last season that Sam Horn was going to get into a handful of games, and it just didn't happen.
Right.
So, you know, I think this year we will definitely see him at some point. I expect in week one. After that, I don't really know.
Yeah, I guess, you know, and we'll talk about the kind of offensive changes that have happened since last season in a minute. But I think that is just one of those things where you go, okay, we kept hearing it, and we kept hearing it, and we kept hearing it, and then we never saw it. So it's almost like I still feel like there's this sense of suspense that's been building since last year. Mm-hmm. Is like, when do we get to see this magical Sam Horn, and what's it going to be when we finally do?
Well, and I think it has to happen this year, right? I mean, sooner or later, he has to get his shot because he came into last year, I believe, as the number 8 quarterback prospect in the country.
Okay.
And even if you don't play for a redshirt season and your redshirt freshman season, if he were to transfer, he's going to get some bitters.
Right?
So that's the type of level where you're looking at a kid saying, like, yeah, if he doesn't play in his first 2 years, he's probably gone.
Right.
And then you don't have Sam Horn.
Right.
Yeah. So, you know, Brady did a pretty good job last year getting thrown into a situation where he was running for his life a lot of the time.
Right.
I think he could do a pretty good job this year, too.
Right.
Especially in this new offense that's been implemented. But I think you're in a situation with a guy like Sam Horn. I don't know him personally. Maybe that's not who he is.
Right.
But he's at the level, at least was coming in, where if he were to transfer after 2 seasons of not really playing because he wasn't getting his opportunity, he's going to get his opportunity somewhere else.
Right. So I guess if I had to, and again, this bears in mind of the kind of offense that we'll be talking about here in a second, but if I had to say, okay, let's pretend now we're 4 games down the road and we're heading into SEC play, who do you see starting for the Tigers at quarterback at that point?
I think it'll probably be Brady.
Yeah.
He was named a captain by his teammates, which I think probably adds some weight on his side of the scale.
Sure.
You know, knowing the team is behind him in that way.
Right.
And, yeah, especially, you know, you had the stretch of games last year where Coach Rinkwitz gave up the offensive play calling, and Brady looked pretty good.
Right.
In those, you know, 3-4 games. Even they weren't the best stretch of games for Missouri as a team.
Sure.
But the offense started clicking pretty well and looked pretty good.
Yeah.
I think if he is able to effectively run Kirby Moore's system, then I think it'll probably be him. Being the incumbent helps a lot.
Sure. And bear in mind, I don't care which one of them wins the job. I don't have any horse in this race. I don't really feel like I care one way or another. I just feel like, you know, there is so much of this where because Horn got so few reps last year and didn't get a chance to see it, the one thing you at least know, and again, I'm not saying that this is a make or break year for Eli, because I think he's generated so much goodwill and done so many good things, but let's say he's, you know, on the hot seat, or this might be a season where he could eventually be on the hot seat, I think you almost have to, from his standpoint, go with the known commodity, because let's say that Sam Horn does play against some of these teams. You still don't know after a South Dakota and a Middle Tennessee how he's going to react once you get into the SEC, where at least you know with Brady Cook, you've seen him for a season long in the SEC, and yes, he was literally running for his life most of the season, but you at least saw how he reacted in those games, and he kept you in a lot of those games. So he is kind of a more known commodity, where if Eli's going, I'm kind of coaching for my job at this point, I might want to saddle my horse, you know, to this guy, because that's the guy that I at least know what we're going to get out of him on a particular game-by-game standpoint.
And just to plug myself a little bit, I did just write a column about whether Eli's seat is getting warm.
Right.
I don't think it is right now because of those expectations when he was brought into the program, and because I think the recruiting has brought enough goodwill, like you said,
sure,
where like he has the 2 highest ranked recruiting classes in Missouri history. He brought in Luther Burden. He's got Williams Nawaniri, I hope I said that right, for next year as, you know, the 3rd best prospect in the country, number 1 D lineman. So I think he's proven that he's able to get that part of the program correct. And if you're able to do that part, it becomes easier to do the other parts, because once you have great players, it becomes easier to, you know, have great players be great on the field.
Right. So we've kind of kicked this can down the road enough at this point that let's just deal with it. It is going to be a new offensive system in terms of both who's kind of calling the plays and kind of maybe what they're going to do. So what are we maybe expecting from the Tigers on that side of the ball this season?
I don't think it's going to look severely different.
Okay.
You know, the way Brady has described it in interviews is there's some different routes. There's, you know, a couple of, like, the main route on certain plays is going to be different. But it looks generally similar, just with a bigger focus on explosive plays instead of, you know, pounding out 3 or 4 yards okay. to start every drive. So, you know, the way, I guess, the way Brady described it in a couple of his interviews is they're, you know, keeping track of big play percentage. They want that to be a major thing. They okay. want to be able to get the ball, get down the field in big chunks. And that is an important part of this offense in a way that, you know, that's important for every offense, but sure. I don't think that was a focus
okay.
last year.
So I guess that means then, what does that mean for, like, say, a Luther Burden? I mean, do we expect to see his number called a lot more this year? Is that something where we maybe see him take kind of a significant step up in terms of production this year?
So I think there's a couple things contributing to Luther's progression this year. The number one is Dominic Lovett's gone.
Yeah.
Transferred to Georgia. So that takes, you know, the guy who was ahead of him getting touches out. Number two, Luther is now going to play in the slot instead of outside, which, you know, you get a lot more of those short, quick-hitting touches where he can use that elite athleticism he has to just make something happen.
Sure.
In a way, like, we talked a lot last year about, why isn't Luther getting the ball more? Why isn't this happening?
Right.
He's supposed to be the dude.
Right.
Why aren't you feeding him? And they tried to
yeah.
a good amount of the time. I mean, they were taking deep shots to him. The timing was maybe just a little bit off, or maybe, you know, especially early in the season, Brady had a little bit of trouble placing the deep ball.
Sure.
So I think if you get him into a situation where he's going to be running a lot more crossers, a lot more stops, and you can just get him the ball kind of close to the line of scrimmage and let him work, that's going to be able to allow him to showcase his natural ability in a way that he wasn't last year. And yeah. once you get that moving, it's just going to feed on itself and sure. more and more.
So we've talked a lot about offense. So, that's just kind of the natural thing yeah. I think fans do. And,
well,
you know,
and especially after last season, that was the problem.
Sure, exactly.
I mean, you know, the area that this team can take a step forward is by being a better offense.
Right.
The defense was already good.
Yeah, yeah. So you mentioned taking a step forward. Can we expect the defense to take a step forward? I mean, how much room for improvement is there, or how much better do you think it can be? Or do you think if we just get what we got last year, then that's going to be good enough?
I think if you get what you got last year and the offense takes that step forward,
yeah.
this is a pretty good team.
Okay.
I mean, the defense last year did a great job keeping Missouri in games when the offense could not move.
Right.
And, you know, Blake Baker's system worked incredible. Last year was the step forward for the defense.
Okay.
You got a lot of the starters back from last year's team, so maybe there's a good room for just natural player progression in and knowing what the system is, having an extra year in it. But I think if you get what you got last year from the defense, you're probably already pretty happy, because
okay.
that defense was the reason Missouri had a chance to win
right.
8 or even 10 games, depending on if a couple of things went differently
yeah.
offensively.
Yeah. The old adage is you're never healthier in a football season than before your first game. So I guess the question is, how healthy are they, and are there any, you know, maybe looming problems as we head into the season?
Offensively, pretty healthy.
Okay.
You know, the main guys are going to be out there. Defensively is where you're running into a little bit already. So your starting middle linebacker, Chad Bailey, he was one of the top tacklers on the team last year. He's out at least 2 weeks, possibly 3. He's going to probably be replaced by sophomore Damian Wilson, maybe Chuck Hicks, who's a senior. But yeah, you're at best seeing him against Kansas State. Definitely not week 1 or 2.
Okay.
J.C. Carlisle's starting safety is questionable. He's going to be a game-time decision tonight. I don't know why you would risk it if there's any real question there. I mean, you don't need him to beat South Dakota, so why not let him rest?
Right.
Coach Drinkwich has said Trevez Johnson would be the starter at safety if Carlisle is out. Trevez is listed as an or on the depth chart at the star position with Aylin Carnell. So getting him more reps, getting an extra look at him in the system, probably a good idea. We might also see freshman Marvin Burks, who's gotten a lot of good talk about him so far. So, and especially in these first early week games, you're going to see a lot of guys.
Right.
You're going to be up, hopefully, going to be up by a few scores and get the chance to take a look at a lot of these guys. So there will be a bunch of different guys mixing in.
Yeah. So I guess, again, if we take a step back and go kind of maybe big picture and we look at it, and again, we're not going to go too much into the SEC portion of the schedule because, you know, the SEC is always good. We always expect things. But if I were to say to you, okay, we're heading into the season. We've already kind of talked about that initial first game, the four-game burst. You know, it's kind of one of those things where you look at it and go, okay, out of those eight games, then once you get into conference play, you're used to seeing a lot of numbers next to those teams on the schedule in terms of, you know, we got a 1 here, we got a maybe 5 here, we got an 8, we got a 15, we got a 20. Only 3 of the teams are ranked right now in the SEC, and obviously that can change drastically, and that will change. I think we'll see more of them. But at this point, if I said to you, okay, we're just going to kind of hit you with, you know, I'll hit you with a game prediction here in a minute, but I'm going to hit you with a season prediction from a standpoint of go, okay, if with only three of those 8 are ranked and, you know, all things being equal, what if I said to you, okay, what's the over-under for Tiger victories heading the season at this point? What's your gut instinct?
7.5.
Okay.
I think 7 is very reasonable, especially if you're assuming 3-1 going into SEC play.
Mm-hmm.
I think 8 is doable.
Okay.
I think last year, your 2 very weird plays or situations away from being 8-4 anyways.
Right.
You're a couple more that are less weird, but, you know, doable changes away from being 10-2.
Yeah.
I mean, we talked about it a good bit last year, but they're, you know, the Kentucky roughing the kicker. That caused a rule change. If this year's rules happened last year, there's an extra win.
Exactly.
You know, Harrison Mevis, all SEC kicker, misses a chip shot, and Nate Pete fumbles into the end zone in overtime away from beating Auburn.
Right.
So you get, you know, any of that weird stuff out of the way, you're already looking at 8-4.
Sure.
I think under a different offensive system, it's not going to be quite as do or die every game.
Okay.
And gives the defense a little bit of extra room to work and not have to, like, be perfect all of the time.
Yeah.
So I think 7.5 is a reasonable place to set it because I think 7 is pretty doable and 8's probably pretty doable too.
Okay. All right, then. I guess that leads us to a prediction for tonight's game. How do the Tigers fare against South Dakota and how big a number is it, I guess, against South Dakota?
It better be a big number.
Right.
I mean,
we said that a lot last year against some of those early teams too.
Yeah, but I mean, like I said early on, if it's not a 20-point win, then you're looking at a problem. If this game is anywhere near close, it's a problem.
Yeah.
So I'll give it 42-13.
All right, that should do it for this week. For Kyle McAravey, I'm Tony Hawley saying thanks for listening.
For more information about this week's game, visit newstribune.com and get game updates and more college sports content all week by following Kyle McAravey on Twitter at Kyle_McAravey. That's MCAREAVY. Thanks for listening.